Whether I'm in your arms or I'm at your feet. Written by Rest. Read by Ashes and Ghost as a gift for 10 Popo 03. The embarrassing thing, when John looks back at it, is that he had no clue for so long. Sometimes he'd find himself thinking about it, yeah, but he never thought it was going to be real. It was like checking out a lesbian. Like, you might think she's hot as shit, and you might think about what a good fuck she would be, but you don't actually ever think she'd want to fuck you, or that she'd be good at fucking you, because lesbians don't fuck guys. Same with Patrick. John looked, but didn't touch or speak, because he thought Patrick would look fucking beautiful on his knees, but he didn't think for a second Patrick would want to be on his knees. Doms don't suddenly drop their own dynamic and pick up subbing just for the hell of it. Patrick has basically no game, or some kind of subconscious self-sabotaging tendency, and he picks up almost never because of it. He can get girls to talk to him, and make out with him in the dark corner of bars, but he practically always leaves alone. Which is why John is so blindsided by walking in on Patrick and some girl fucking on Patrick's bed in their shared hotel room the night after an away game. John opens his mouth when he sees them and takes a quick breath, ready to start bitching Patrick out for not having the fucking courtesy to text him first so as to avoid this very awkward situation, when he gets a look at Patrick's face, and that breath leaves him immediately. He'd entered the room silently. Patrick's eyes are closed, and the girl riding him is facing backwards, so she doesn't see John at all. She's skinny, but with some curves, muscled and defined like she probably takes some kind of rec sport way too seriously. There's a tattoo on her left shoulder blade, and her brown hair is loose and messy. She runs her hands through it, and John catches a glimpse of a switch bracelet, unmistakable, on one of her wrists. The position they're using, reverse cowgirl, pretty much guarantees the person on top is subbing. That's obvious. And mostly it looks like she is, but something's really fucking off, because Patrick is pliant underneath her, looking lost with his mouth open and his head thrown back. His hands are on her hips, but he's not controlling her movement. He's just holding on. Holy shit, like subs do. What the fuck? And then John gets the hell out of there, because whatever that was, he feels certain he wasn't meant to see it. And, okay, so you can't tell dynamic from just looking at a person any better than you can tell sexual orientation. John knows that. But you can usually tell when people are subbing or domming. And if John didn't know Patrick, if he went into it blind without being told what his deal was before, he would have said that guy was a sub in a heartbeat. So Patrick's probably a switch, and John gets why he wouldn't tell people, because it's hard for subs to get taken seriously in the NHL. Just look how long Shazzy spent in Rockford before they let him play for real. It doesn't change anything, he tells himself. John starts watching Patrick, though. He can't help it. Patrick would make a fucking beautiful sub. He'd be beautiful subbing for John. He's pushy and mouthy, but that's cool. Guys who want their subs to be quiet, speak when spoken to types are assholes. Patrick could be all vocal in bed, just loud and obnoxious and enthusiastic. John thinks he'd probably be quiet once he finally got into subspace, though. Like, he'd probably just slip down and stay passive and easy. It's awful, because the more John watches, the more he sees what he missed before. If he were only looking for overt behavior, crass language and clothing, he wouldn't notice a thing. But Patrick's actual behavior? It's a hell of a lot of sub stuff. Patrick sprawls when he sits down, like most doms do, except he tilts his hips forward just enough for you to notice if you're looking. And John is looking. Because when Patrick does that, it looks for all the world like he's presenting. It gets John hot and bothered and guilty. It's not just some obscure hip movement, though. It's the way Patrick keeps his palms open and forward all the time, like he'd welcome being taken in hand. It's the way Patrick shows throat way too fucking often. He gets away with it because he has to tilt his head just to make eye contact with most of the guys he works with, but that doesn't mean he's not showing. And that's another thing, the eye contact. He waits for doms to address him before he looks them in the eye. He finds something to do with his hands so he can look down and away from them while they talk. He does it with every dom, so of course he does it with John, and it's fucking torture, but he's not gonna say shit about it. That's Patrick's business. Or at least he isn't gonna say shit about it, but then the Madison thing happens, and honestly, John doesn't feel angry about it for even a second. All he feels is worried. Like, his heart is in his throat as he gets updates from PR. Don't give any statements, say no comment, Kane is essentially on a bender and we need to wait until it's over to start doing damage control, so no matter how much you might want to set things straight or defend him to the media, don't. Yeah, you'd better believe John flies out to Chicago as soon as he learns that that's where Patrick has himself bunkered down. He gets into Trump Towers from behind the building, because he really doesn't need any straggling sports journalists trying to get a rise out of him. Patrick doesn't even seem surprised to see him when he answers the door, just moves to the side and lets John slip in. There's a really awkward 10 minutes where they talk around it, and then Patrick just breaks into it with, I don't know what the fuck happened, okay, Johnny? I was just being a huge drunk asshole. I feel so fucking shitty about it, and I wish it hadn't happened, but I can't take it back. But just please go easy on me. He's not showing his throat right now. He's actually hanging his head, hiding behind his too long hair. Are you sure you don't know what happened? John asks. Yes, Patrick tells him, driving his hands into his knees. He's clearly frustrated. Is it, John hedges, because he doesn't want to do this to Pat, put him in this position. But if his teammate and his friend is all fucked up because he's got switch problems, then John wants to be around to talk it out. Is it because of your thing? The switching? Patrick's head shoots up, and his mouth is twisted into something almost like a smile. What? What the fuck are you talking about? He asks. I've seen you, Pat. Back in, like, December, I walked in on you and that girl, and then with the other Doms around, it seems like I've seen you is all, John answers. Patrick's mouth has fallen open a little and his eyebrows are pointing down. What the fuck, John? I'm not a fucking... No, hey, it's okay. I'm not gonna judge you or tell anyone, but I want you to... You can talk about it, if you want to, John tries, but Patrick isn't soothed by that at all. No, it's not okay, because I'm not a fucking switch, he tells John, and wow, he's angry, like, actually really angry. But I thought you were... Okay, hey, John starts as Patrick's hands shake. Hey, no, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. I thought, but I was wrong. Just ignore me, okay? I'm sorry. Yeah, Patrick breathes out, looking down again. Yeah, let's not... Whatever that is. Let's deal with real shit right now, okay? For sure, man, I've got your back. You're gonna be okay. You want to forget about this shit for now? Play some Mario Kart? Yeah, Patrick says, smiling with relief. Yeah, let's do that. John reevaluates after that. Patrick says he's not a switch, and John believes that Patrick doesn't think he is one. But there's no way that he's a straightforward Dom. Doms don't do any of the sub things Patrick does. Sure, there's variation, and stereotypes are stupid and all of that, but Patrick isn't acting like a sub-stereotype. Patrick is acting like a sub who needs someone to take him to his knees. Doms don't act like that because they don't need to be put down. The only people who need to be on their knees are subs and switches. Some switches prefer one side of the dynamic, and they only switch every once in a while. Patrick could be like that, like a switch who mostly doms and only needs to get on his knees occasionally, but then the pervasive, constant way Patrick conveys that need doesn't make any sense. John really doesn't know what Patrick's deal is, and he doesn't think he can just ask. Whatever it is, Patrick's dealing with it okay on his own. He really gets his shit together after Madison and John's concussion, so John is just gonna have to stop being a pussy and be cool about this. He doesn't have to know everything about Patrick to support him. John's got it pretty easy as far as questions of sexuality go. He was raised in Canada, so people were pretty accepting to begin with. He's well aware that he appeals to most of the mainstream world, male-dominant, athletic build, leadership material. The fact that he sometimes very quietly goes for male subs is almost a non-issue. According to the Blackhawks publicist, the subset of people who do have a problem with it seem to be more offended by his implicit approval of gay male subs than they are by his actual inclinations. He gets that it's not like that for everyone. Sometimes he finds himself getting mad at Patrick and has to remind himself to pull back, call up his mom, and speak French for a while. It's not Patrick's fault that the world is a shitty place sometimes. He's trying to pick up on some girl at a bar. She's hot in a plastic kind of way. He's drunk enough to admit that he really doesn't care if her tits are fake so long as they're big. He's also drunk enough not to notice that Kaner's sitting right next to him, which means things kind of go to shit. Johnny does all the stupid shit you have to do to get a girl to sleep with you. They laugh, he pretends to be interested in her complaints about being a waitress, she pretends she's impressed by his athletic skills and not just his bulk. Things are going pretty well, he thinks. They'll probably leave together at the end of the night, but they're not in a hurry to go anywhere. They've been talking shit at each other about starting up a game of darts. He says something stupid about taking her down because he's been picking up long enough to know how this goes, okay? Sleazy shit like that works out for him. At the words, take you down, he feels a warm, solid weight against his side. Turning, he sees Kaner, who's got his head bent so far down that his chin is on his chest. He has a hand in the hair at the nape of his neck, and he's tugging it up so the back of his neck is totally exposed, and this shit is so not okay. Taser blocks him from the rest of the view of the bar, knocking him askew in the process, and makes some bullshit excuse to the girl about needing to take his wasted buddy home. I'm not... maybe I am, Kaner mumbles, lending John some credence. The girl looks annoyed, but sympathetic. Not like she's going to tweet about this, thank God. Taser wrestles Kaner up, out of the bar, into a cab, and into his apartment. Kaner is soft and pliant in a way that makes Johnny ache. He keeps an arm circled around Patrick's waist, and Patrick angles into it. In the cab, he resists Johnny extracting them from each other until Johnny says, "Go, Kaner." And then he moves, reluctant and slow, but sure. Walking from the cab up to Kaner's place, sees them right back in the same position with Kaner plastered along Johnny's side like he's afraid he'll be told to go away at any moment. His head keeps rolling forward. Johnny can see the back of his neck all too clearly. It's torture. When they get inside, Kaner makes a beeline for their shared IKEA couch. "No, I've been better, man. The air was just getting me or something. I'm not wasted," Kaner tells him. "I know," John says, wearily. "No," Kaner says, more forceful. I've been better. I wanted to be better for everyone, for you. I'm not wasted. I'm just tired or some shit, okay?" Something is turning over in the very back of Taser's mind. "I know. You have been. You've been way better. You've been doing a great job." Kaner might blush at that. John doesn't know. He's pretty red already. He definitely preens a little, tilting his head and puffing out his chest. He takes two aspirins John hands him, and drinks the Gatorade, and then just curls up right there on the couch. Can you blanket?" he asks Taser. Wordlessly, Taser grabs the blanket off the back of the couch and throws it over Patrick, who wriggles further down and mumbles, "Thanks." "Course," Taser responds, and doesn't let himself think any more until he gets home. Sometimes John thinks he's making it up, that it's all in his head. Doms wanting other doms to such a degree that they fool themselves into thinking the object of their obsession is, would be amenable, it happens. Or, okay, it doesn't happen, as far as John knows, but that doesn't stop it from cropping up here and there, in books and movies. It's never a nice story, though. It's ugly, and they say that the dom who wants so bad he's stupid with it isn't confused, he's crazy. John worries, because he's drunk enough to let himself think about it, that maybe he's become that guy, that he's making shit up. But then he'll see Patrick the next day, and Patrick will just fucking snap to the second John says his name. So John's probably not crazy. Something's just weird. John takes to the internet and learns a lot about switches, none of which sounds like Patrick. He also learns about something called binarism and how some people think having two roles is bullshit. Those people bring up some good points, but then they also seem like they're trying really hard, so he's not sure about them. Nothing really stands out except for one article some woman wrote about how her parents didn't even believe she was a dom at first, and how they tried to raise her as a traditional sub until she was like 7 and they gave up. "It was hard," she writes, "because I didn't have the words to explain that I wasn't playing make-believe, and even with all the evidence to the contrary, they were determined to believe that I would grow up and be taken in hand by some nice dominant man." John considers the evidence. Patrick says he is a dom. Patrick acts like a sub, to the exclusion of pretty much all dominant behavior. Patrick is an asshole. Patrick is trying to be better for John. Patrick's family raised the girls on the traditional side of liberal. Patrick acts like a sub, and his family definitely wanted a dom for a son, and Patrick wants to be good for John. John watches Patrick more closely than ever after that night of half-buzzed research. He basically gathers more evidence to back up what he kind of already knows. Patrick seems happier when his hair is longer, like the mullet looks awful, but Patrick looks totally content to be wearing it. Patrick looks to Sharpie for guidance. Sharpie is the kind of calm, collected dominant that subs flock to all the time. So he kind of already knows that Patrick's, not your typical dom, or not a dom at all, and is in fact more likely a sub than anything else. A sub. Patrick. John spends one weekend getting staggeringly drunk and calling his mom. He doesn't remember much of their conversation. She tells him later that he cried, and he's only half sure she's mocking him. He's not sure what to do now that he knows. Patrick's got to be hurting, that much is clear. Subs need to submit, that's the whole deal, and going this long, John honestly doesn't know how Patrick handles it. He's so much stronger than John thought. A few drunk nights of being an unbelievable asshole are hardly surprising considering the circumstances. John probably would have been a lot worse if it were him. But would it hurt Patrick more to talk to him about it and try to help him? He's functioning as he is. He seems happy. He's doing a lot better. What right does John have to mess with that? After a couple of weeks, John decides that he might not have a right to do anything about it, but he's going to anyway, because if he doesn't, someone else will. He's never thought that people are particularly stupid before, but looking at how obvious Patrick is, he has to wonder. Do people really not see it? Do they see it and tell themselves it's none of their business? Patrick presents in broad daylight, in full view of the giant group of Doms he works with. It's pretty unmistakable. And someone is going to say something one day. If someone's going to, John would rather that person is him. But he knows it's not his place. He starts by trying to get Patrick used to the idea of not necessarily submitting to him, but being a subordinate. He has no idea what he's doing here. There is no goddamn protocol for this, and no one he trusts well enough to ask. When they're out for a night, John tells Patrick to get him a drink, and thanks him very deliberately when he returns with one. Patrick's response is a sort of a brush-off on the surface, but he blushes and angles his head down into the side. His shoulders fall a little. He looks relaxed. When Patrick does well at practice, John makes sure to praise him. Patrick leans into whatever touch he's offered and lets his head hang for a moment or two. He looks pleased. When Patrick behaves himself on a road trip, John slings an arm around his neck and hugs him to his side. That one's maybe a little over the line, but Patrick's entire body relaxes when he does it, so John can't stop himself. John can almost fool himself into thinking that kind of behavior is enough for Patrick. Almost. Except then they're doing an away game against the Sabres, and John goes to dinner with the Canes. The Canes are a pretty typical, loving, semi-suburban American family. They poke fun at each other a lot. It's all harmless, except for when, in the midst of teasing Jackie about her ill-applied junior high dye job, someone brings up that Patrick pretended to be a sub when he was a kid. John can feel his fists clenching up before anything else is said. Next to him, Patrick goes stiff and awkward and sad-looking. It's awful. The story comes out, and John listens in horror, unable to tell them to stop without giving a reason, and having none except that they're hurting their son and their brother. Apparently, when Patrick was a kid, he used to gravitate towards clothes and toys and activities designed for subs. He was so cute, oh god, it took us forever to get him to understand that boys aren't like that. Bless him, he wanted to be just like his sisters, Patrick's mom says. Something sticks in John's throat. He never really thought about it, but Patrick can't win a fight with his sisters to save his life. How was he supposed to win a fight with his parents at 5 years old? John waits until they're back at the hotel for the night. He walks Patrick to the door of his room, follows him back inside, looks him in the eye. Don't think about this too much, okay? He asks. Sure? Patrick questions. John hugs Patrick then, too tight and for too long. He wants to cover Patrick up and hide him away and make sure he never hurts again, but he can't. Knows that that would hurt him more. Then he lets go. He brushes Patrick's hair behind his ear and says, "Good night, Patrick," before he walks out the door. He ignores Patrick's confused looks through the rest of the season, just stays a steady, calm presence at his back through their second cup win. A week after the win, he has Patrick on his knees. As part of his Being Better campaign, Patrick is careful not to drink to excess when he's alone or around people he doesn't know, but the whole team is out and getting shit-faced, so he can't be blamed for joining in. John keeps a close, worried eye on him for most of the night, but he does lose track of him a couple of times. It's almost midnight when he realizes he hasn't seen Patrick in like half an hour and goes off hunting for him. He's not hard to track down. He's leaning against the bar talking to a tall, submissive girl. Of course she's tall, John thinks tiredly. He can look up at her that way. Before John can decide whether or not he wants to walk over there and intervene, the sub is greeted by two friends. John can't hear what Patrick is saying, but his body language is not welcoming. He's drunk swaying, but he's also leaning back from the girls. Of course, they don't seem to care. The tall sub, giggling, grabs Patrick's wrist and drags him out to the back of the room. Wait, not toward the back of the room, to the back door of the club. Shit. John knows it's not buddies to stop a guy from getting laid, but Patrick doesn't look like he's excited about it. He's shying back and dragging his feet as they slip out the door. Aw, hell. John gets up and crosses the place quick. When he exits the building, he finds Patrick backed up against the building, looking hesitant and protesting vaguely. Come on, says one of the friends. Don't you want to take three girls in one night? I'm not interested, but I'm sure dominating the three of you is really awesome. You can totally find someone else. Letty would definitely be into it, he tells them. Are you sure? One of the other two girls asks. You could have all of us on our knees, open and submitting for you, obeying every order you give us. She bites her lip coyly. We'd be good girls, but we need a big, strong dom to show us how. Take charge. Then she straight up grabs Patrick's junk. Patrick curls in on himself sudden and says, no, plaintive and weak. Hey! Yells John, running over. Get the fuck away from him. He's not interested. The three of them don't move. Get the fuck away, John orders, full dominant behaviors in use. He looms over the girls. The tall one rolls her eyes and, looking pissy, leads her two friends back inside. John turns back to Patrick. Hey, man, you okay? He asks, cautious. Patrick is slumped against the wall. Yeah, or, no. I don't feel good, Johnny. How about I take you home? John is almost whispering. Please, Patrick agrees, and holds out a hand. Then he starts crying. Patrick doesn't stop crying, or sobbing, really, until he's so exhausted that he just passes out. It doesn't even let up all the way through the trip back to his place. I don't know what's wrong with me, he keeps gasping as sobs rack his body. I just feel so awful, he moans. John rubs his back and makes sympathetic noises and tells him it's going to be okay. The only thing that really soothes Patrick is a firm hand at the back of his neck, and being squeezed almost too tight to be called a hug. With Madison, this is how it felt when... he says, but that's all he gets out before he's crying too hard to talk. Something's wrong, he tells John, sounding scared and so, so, so sad. Nothing's wrong, Patrick, John says, looking into his eyes. I'm gonna take care of it. John crashes in Patrick's bed with him, because it's the only way he knows for sure he'll be awake to stop Patrick if he gets up in the middle of the night and fucks off to Wisconsin. In the morning, he makes Patrick scrambled eggs with cheese and whole wheat toast. Patrick looks embarrassed and, well, like he'd cried all night, but he also looks awake and confused, and he keeps opening and closing his palms like it feels wrong for nothing to be in them. You're kind of weirding me out, dude, Patrick tells him, and John realizes he's been staring at Patrick as they eat. Whatever, things are going to get a lot weirder very soon. After they're finished, John asks Patrick, do you trust me? What? Patrick asks. Yes? Okay, John says to himself, exhaling. Okay. Patrick looks a little freaked out, but seriously, there's no chance John is going to let him keep living his life like this. Remember when I thought you were a switch? John starts. I'm a dom, Johnny. Patrick tells him, but he's not angry like he was then. He's just, his brow is furrowed. He's grabbing his hair. John feels pained. I've seen you, Patrick. I'm with you all the time. You keep your palms open and facing up. You keep your legs open and it looks like a dom sprawl, but your hips are tilted forward. You're presenting. You show throat all the time. All the fucking time. You fucking avoid eye contact with doms, okay? That's fucking textbook. That's fucking instinct. Patrick's mouth is open just a little and his breathing is ragged. Where do you get off, man? Look, if you say you're a dom, then I believe you. You chose it or you were there to begin with, I get it. But do you really just, how do you know you're a dom? Why do you think that? Because everyone says so, Patrick bursts out. There's a tense silence. But are you? Patrick looks down because of fucking course he does. No one's ever asked before, he whispers, and John's heart breaks. I'd like to try something. Will you just try for me? John is not begging, but he's not above it either. He's going to do what it takes. Patrick, still facing his knees, exhales slowly. Okay, he agrees. John feels a sudden rush of relief and anxiety. He needs to make this good. Patrick needs him right now. He gets up and stands behind Patrick. Then he takes both hands and firmly pushes down on Patrick's shoulders. For a second, Patrick stiffens and John gets cold, thinks he's miscalculated horribly because trying it this way with touching and demonstration might have been the worst way to do it, might have ruined everything. And then Patrick shudders and bows his head, chin to chest. When John peeks around, he sees that Patrick's eyes are shut and his face is slack, young-looking. They stay like that for a long moment. John kneads into Patrick's shoulders, and Patrick makes a small noise. "You okay?" John asks. Patrick opens his mouth, appears to try to speak. He gives up and goes back to closed eyes, head down, heavy breathing. John keeps kneading because the sound was mostly positive, and he wants Patrick to feel good, wants this to be good for him. Eventually, after John has massaged Patrick's shoulders thoroughly and is working on the sides of his neck awkwardly, with his elbows on Patrick's shoulders to keep him grounded, Patrick speaks up. "Can we..." He takes a deep breath, in and out. "Lie down?" He is so quiet. John says yes and hooks his hands under Patrick's armpits so he can pull him up, walks Patrick forward with his arms wrapped around his chest. John considers the couch, but he thinks Patrick needs some more space than that right now, and moves them on to the nearest bedroom. They stand before the bed for a moment before getting in. Patrick rests his head on John's shoulder and exhales heavily. Distantly, John feels frightened. Patrick is going to need so much, and John is the selfish one who awoke that in him. He might be the worst person to fulfill those needs, but he can't panic, not when Patrick needs him. So he ushers him up onto the bed, lays him down on his belly so he feels secure. He asks if he can keep up with the massaging, and Patrick says yes, so he straddles Patrick's hips and begins working him over. Patrick starts out horribly tense, but under John's attentions, the muscles in his neck and back and shoulders go butter soft. He nuzzles into the pillow intermittently. After a long time, Patrick whispers, "Please," and John can't resist leaning down to put his face in Patrick's neck just for an instant. "What do you want?" he whispers back after he's pulled away. His face is next to Patrick's. "I'm so tired," Patrick tells him, and it sounds like a confession. "I'm so tired, and I don't know what this... how to... just... help, please. I want to sleep. I'm so tired." "Okay," John agrees, hard in his throat. He arranges Patrick in a partial fetal position and then fits himself next to him, tightly and face to face. He swings a leg over Patrick's hips and cups the back of his head so it's pushed into the crook of John's neck. Patrick's got one hand fisted in John's shirt, and the other is opening and closing on nothing weakly. John grabs it and holds on. "Go to sleep, Patrick," he tells him, still quiet. "You're covered. You're safe. You're so good. You're good at this. I'll take care of everything. I'll take care of you." He pets the nape of Patrick's neck firmly, and isn't surprised when Patrick's breathing evens out into an unmistakable sleep only moments later. John, of course, can't sleep as easily. Pat wakes up an hour and a half later and gets the most hilarious, confused look on his face. "Did we..." he starts to ask, but then trails off. "I put you in a subbing position, and you liked it," Taser tells him. "Oh," Pat says. "I don't know what to do. I think maybe you're right." "You don't have to ever... if this is all you can do, just being like this with me, that's okay. You owe it to yourself to be like this sometimes, though. I've seen you. You're so much happier when you're in the right role." "I'm scared, Johnny. I don't know how to do this." "We're gonna do it together, okay?" John gets his lawyer to send over a contract for a service submissive. It stipulates that Patrick will serve John in a non-sexual manner until such time that both parties agree to terminate the contract or replace it with a new one. John has never seen Patrick look more sure than he does as he signs it. "I know you take care of me," Pat explains. I don't take very good care of myself, do I?" "No, Pat, you don't." I've been better, though, right? I've been trying so hard to be better for you." His voice is breaking a little. "Yeah, you have," John agrees and hugs him tight, rubs his back. "You've been so good for me, and I'm going to be good for you now." Patrick sinks into the role of a service sub like he was made for it. He glows with happiness every time John tells him he did something right. The services Patrick performs are pretty standard. He helps John get dressed, but John undresses himself. He often fetches drinks for John. He grows his hair out long on all sides because John tells him to. He scratches John's back. He runs simple errands. Still, it's enough to do what John intended. Slowly, Patrick starts getting more comfortable with submitting. He starts relaxing into John's side when they sit together. He asks John what he should eat for breakfast. He looks to John expectantly when he does something right, like he associates submitting with praise. It's exactly what John wanted for him. The summer goes quick, with John feeling rushed to get Patrick comfortable in his new role before the season starts. Patrick locks on to him a couple of days before the preseason starts and asks him what's wrong. "I worry about you," John tells him. This is still so new. It's new for you, maybe, but it's not new for me. I've always done these things. I've just never been allowed to like them before. I like them a lot, and I'm so grateful all the time that you let me have this. I know I'm not... I must be a hard sub to have around, and I'm not like the girls you usually have, but you say I've been good. I think I've been good. I'm trying. And now Patrick's panicking, and they're a sorry mess together, really. John's so glad Patrick's not out being a sorry mess with anyone else. The guys are really cool about it. The rookies don't really know anything's different, and most of the returning Blackhawks respond with something along the lines of, well, it's not like he wasn't doing this before, and a congratulatory clap to John's back because he's gotten himself a contracted submissive. John doesn't know how to explain to the guys that this is fucking momentous for him and an even bigger deal for Patrick. It's probably good he doesn't have to. The therapist Patrick sees tells them that Patrick is most likely never going to be able to fully submit to anyone other than John because his entire submission style is dependent on John himself. John feels terrible and glad at the same time. Patrick just looks relieved. I don't want anyone else, he says. The idea, God, I never want to do this with someone else. I'm glad you're okay, John tells him. Patrick looks a little queasy that night, but he won't tell John what's up. John knows Patrick will tell him eventually, but that doesn't stop him from worrying. If he makes one wrong move, Patrick might spiral out of control again and end up in some crappy suburban college town drinking himself half to death and allegedly choking college girls. It's not like it hasn't happened before. Something that really bothers John about the whole Madison episode is that Patrick doesn't remember what happened with the girl in question. He honestly has no idea, which means either he did that and he's a fucking terrible person when he's running around unchecked by a dominant figure, or someone made it up, which means he's incredibly vulnerable when no doms are around to keep an eye on him. Of course, John doesn't actually need to worry. Patrick is, in the best way, a needy, wanting, insecure thing, and he handles those insecurities by seeking out validation from John. He wakes John up that night by letting himself into John's apartment and crawling into his bed. "Johnny? John? John?" he whispers, nosing at the back of his neck. He's teary. "What? Are you hurt? What's wrong?" John asks, curling his arms around Patrick automatically. Do you want someone else? I can't, but you can, and if you want, you shouldn't feel... Hey, no, whoa, I really don't. Patty, I really don't. John tries to console him. But you might, eventually, and I'm gonna be okay with that. Please keep me around as a service, okay? Please don't make me go away, please, please. No, Patrick, I won't leave you. I wanted you before any of this. I wanted you when we both thought you were a dom. I'm going to want you forever. We're so good together. You're so good for me. Why would I want someone else when I have someone who's so good for me? John asks him. Patrick seems at a loss. Exactly, John tells him. I wouldn't. He snuggles Patrick up to his side. Patrick goes easily, sweetly. He always does. They terminate the service contract in January. John kisses Patrick after, closed-mouthed and proper. Then he sets out the rules. They keep the service behavior up through the playoffs and well into the summer. The only difference is that they kiss now, and John tells Patrick when he can have orgasms, and they tell the people they're closest to that Patrick is submitting to John. They don't tell Patrick's family, though. They're not sure how to handle it. Patrick seems really reluctant to ever let them know, and John just wants Patrick to feel safe, comfortable. So that's off the table for the foreseeable future. John teases Patrick a little bit to keep him on his toes, keep him anticipating. He'll kiss him closed-mouthed for ages, and Patrick will be hard and whining by the end of it. John will wait until Patrick is back in his own apartment to tell him he can jerk off. Patrick asks for orgasms on his own a lot of the time, and they're almost always granted. The point isn't to deny him, it's to give him the feeling that someone else is in control. John officially introduces Patrick to his family as John's submissive when they get kicked out of the playoffs. It's not traditional, and there's no sense of ceremony, but it feels so good to be seen like that for once. They start having sex that summer. The first time, they're kissing, and John is so aware of how ready Patrick is that he just can't bring himself to say no anymore. "Hey, Patrick," he whispers. Patrick whines a little because they're past the point they usually stop, and obviously he wants to keep going. "No, listen to me, Patty," John tells him, grabbing him by the hair and raising his head. Patrick looks at him with big eyes. "You can come anytime you want," John says, and smiles. Patrick gasps and starts jackrabbiting his hips in an attempt to get more friction, probably in case his privileges get revoked soon. John rolls his eyes, and then rolls them over so Patrick is pinned beneath him before reaching down and jerking Patrick off. Patrick makes embarrassing huffing noises the whole time, like he forgot to breathe. His mouth is open when he comes. John rubs one out on Patrick's hip during Patrick's post-orgasm haze. They take things pretty slow. Patrick is easily overwhelmed by his new submission territory, and John could probably be content with handjobs for the rest of his life as long as they're from Patrick. With Patrick, they're incredible. When they can take their time, they like to have sex on the couch. John will have Patrick undress him first. Then he sprawls out on the couch and jacks himself a little while he watches Patrick get undressed. Once Patrick is naked, he joins John, straddles his lap, and bites his lip to stop himself from grinding down. That's all instinct. John wouldn't mind at all if Patrick took a little more initiative in sex, but he's not very comfortable with it, and John's never going to push him. Then they rub off on each other, or John jerks them both off, slow and easy. Sometimes John asks Patrick to jerk him off first, and Patrick does, looking weirdly gratified to be allowed to fist John's dick and aim his cum under his own chest or his face. Then Patrick will sit there, trembling with restrained want, until John's head clears enough for him to start jerking Patrick in turn. Sometimes they jerk each other off, and it's the hottest thing, how Patrick will start whining and moaning, and his talented hands and wrists will slow down to just this kind of pulsing squeeze while John works him over. It works for them. In December 2017, Patrick's oldest sister catches Patrick submitting to John. It's tame enough. Patrick is just kneeling at John's feet, but it's also unmistakable. "Oh!" she exclaims, startled and unsure. Patrick looks to John, a silent plea, and then ducks his head so his forehead rests on John's knee. He's never wanted to have this conversation with his family. John's not going to make him. "Hey, Erica," John says, stroking Patrick's hair slow and soothing. Patrick submits to me. He's my sub. A sub in general, but my sub, you know. He's still not sure how to talk about it, so he's never wanted to tell you guys. Patty, she says. Are you going to talk? Patrick doesn't respond, just buries his face further into John's calf. I'll try to work out, like, a note tonight or something with him. He's a really good sub, Erica. He's really good to me. I don't know how you're going to feel about this once the shock wears off, but you should be proud of him, really. He's so good. Okay, she says, still sort of shaken. Okay, I won't tell anybody else, okay, Patty? This is yours to tell. Patrick sniffs. John's not sure if that's a response or what. Still, he knows that Patrick's glad of that. Thank you for respecting his privacy, Erica, he says. She leaves. Do you regret any of it? John asks as they look over the email Patrick drafted to her. No, says Patrick, vehement. It's special. It is, John says, smiling. It really is. The last line of the email Patrick sends to Erica is, Johnny and I need each other because we're better together than we are apart. The end. Thank you for listening.